Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Before there is faith, there is doubt. Before there is courage, there is fear. And before there is confidence, there is uncertainty. And the bridge between all these sets of things we often think of as opposites is a promise. I'm actually talking about Mary, as we meet her in today's story. At this point in her life, she is, as you may remember, a young girl, likely a teenager. She is engaged, but not yet married, promised to Joseph in a relationship that has not yet been consummated. All of which means that the news the angel Gabriel brings her is, to say the least, unsettling. She would conceive and bear a son, the angel says. He would be great, called Son of God, and heir to his ancestor David. All of which sounds kind of amazing, except that she is just a teenager, engaged but not yet married, promised to Joseph in a relationship not yet consummated. Little wonder then that St. Luke reports that Mary was perplexed when the angel greeted her. Now, personally, I feel like perplexed doesn't quite capture what she's feeling. And other translations of this verse actually render it as confused, concerned, greatly troubled, even thoroughly shaken. And no wonder, her whole life is about to be turned upside down. None of her plans are going to go the way she thought. The life she imagined, maybe even dreamed of, is now gone, replaced by who knows what. Gabriel senses this rush of anxious emotions and responds by saying, "Do not be afraid." These are the words that Gabriel said last week to the old priest Zechariah when he learned that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a son. They're also the words with which the angel greets the women at the empty tomb just before he announces Christ's resurrection. In fact, these are the words that across the pages of Scripture, angels regularly greet people with, greeting the servants of the Lord with just these words because, as it turns out, to serve God, to allow God to work through you, to follow the path God has set for you, well, these kinds of things can be kind of frightening. And so Mary is perplexed, concerned, thoroughly shaken, and downright afraid. And so the angel promises courage. And that promise allows her to be caught up in God's plans for redemption. But I wonder if there isn't also a little something else going on in this story. I mean, Luke reports that Mary is first perplexed, concerned, anxious, thoroughly shaken, even before Gabriel tells her that she will give birth to Jesus. In fact, her anxiety spikes the moment he greets her as favored one. Now, it could be that Mary is simply terrified to be in the presence of an angel. That, after all, was Zechariah's case in last week's story. But I wonder if maybe Mary had a hard time believing Gabriel's words. That, too, is a regular feature of the biblical story, whether it's Abraham and Sarah or Zechariah and Elizabeth. Characters in the Bible often seem to have a hard time believing that God has come among them to do something special, something miraculous. They have a hard time, that is, trusting that God wants to call them and treat them as favored. And so maybe Mary wondered what could be special about her. She was, as we've already noticed, incredibly ordinary, a teenager, probably poor, with little to no education, engaged but not yet married, entirely identical to 1,000 other girls her age. So how could she possibly have earned God's favor? Maybe that's what's perplexing, confusing, even troubling. Because once again, before there is faith, there is doubt. Before there is courage, there is fear. And before confidence, uncertainty. And once again, the bridge between these two is a promise. Favored one, Gabriel greets her when first meeting her, and then returns to that same promise. You have found favor with God. That is, you are enough. already, and God favors you and has chosen you just as you are. And then, in case all this still sounds a little too hard to believe, Gabriel reminds Mary of the chief promise running throughout the scriptures: nothing is impossible with God. Favored one. When I think of Gabriel's greeting and promise to Mary, I'm reminded of one of my professors from graduate school, a man by the name of Dr. Cleophas LaRue. Dr. LaRue was a member of the National Baptist Conference of America, the largest predominantly African-American denomination in the United States. At the time, he was an experienced pastor, an exceptional preacher and teacher, and an up-and-coming scholar studying the history and practice of preaching in the Black church. I had, and still have, a tremendous amount of respect for him. But there was one thing that he routinely did that I found unsettling. Whenever we would see each other, whether in the classroom or somewhere else on campus, he would always address me in a deep baritone voice as Dr. Los, even though I hadn't yet earned my degree. I knew he knew that. He was one of my professors, after all. And I never sensed that he was teasing or mocking me, and so I found it perplexing, confusing, even a little troubling. I was raised in a home where you were expected to earn what you received, and I had not earned that title. One day, after Dr. LaRue had again addressed me as Dr. Los, I just couldn't stand that anymore, and so I had to say something. Dr. LaRue, I haven't yet earned my degree, and some days I wonder whether I ever will. So why do you keep calling me doctor? He paused for just a moment as the briefest trace of a smile danced across his face. And then, in a voice grown suddenly serious, he said, "In the Black church, Dr. Los, we do not call you what you are. We call you what we believe you will become." Sometimes, I think that the hardest thing in Scripture to believe is not actually the miracles, whether of healing or resurrection or whatever. Rather, I think the hardest thing in Scripture to believe is the promise that God loves us just as we are, accepts us as we are, that we don't have to do anything to earn God's grace, but have been given it already. One of the hardest things to believe in the Bible, that is that we, like Mary, are favored. Ordinary, yet God calls us extraordinary. Average in so many ways, yet God calls us special. More or less run-of-the-mill, no different in particular ways than millions of others, yet God regards us, each one of us, as precious, special, beloved, and incredibly important. Now, knowing ourselves as we do, and being intimately familiar with every shortcoming, every failure, every time we've let ourselves or someone else down, that can be just plain hard to believe. And sometimes it may even be perplexing, confusing, or even troubling. So let me this morning play the part of Gabriel just for a few minutes and ask you where you are just now. How are things going? Does your life seem in turmoil, things not going according to plan, everything up in the air? Then hear the angel's promise again, this time addressed directly to you. Do not fear. God is with you. Or perhaps you're finding it hard to believe that God loves you and accepts you as you are. You don't feel special, far from it, and wonder how you're going to get through this day or week or life. Then hear Gabriel's promise again, this time addressed to you. You have found favor with God, just as you are. Or maybe, just maybe all of this, God's love and acceptance, God's promise to be with you and for you, God's favor, all of this seems just a little too good to be true, and life's challenges too difficult to overcome. Then hear Gabriel's promise once again, this time addressed directly to you. Nothing is impossible with God. Because as we see throughout the scriptures, before there is faith, there is doubt. Before courage, fear. Before confidence, uncertainty. And the bridge between all these is a promise. And this is God's promise to you, made real in the birth of the baby Jesus, made visible in Jesus' death on the cross, made trustworthy in Jesus' resurrection from the tomb. You are God's child, favored, chosen, loved, already, just as you are here and now. Because God doesn't call us what we are. God calls us what God has made us to be. Favored ones, now and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.